Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy. Yo, 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 what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Avery Sports Show. We've had a little bit of a winter break, but we are back now. We're talking soccer again. We're talking CanPL with one of the young faces of the Canadian Premier League from York United. It is Isaiah Johnson. Isaiah, how are you doing, buddy? Welcome to the podcast, good sir.
Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Just trying to navigate. We're talking off here. Just trying to navigate winter in Canada. I know you got a little bit, not as bad as Ontario. I'm trying to navigate an Alberta winter, man, because, hey, dude, minus 29 and minus 30, I cannot stand it, guy. I want it to end so bad.
Yeah, I can imagine. It sounds worse than minus 15, but I can imagine cold is just cold everywhere.
No, exactly. See, I know you've been, I mentioned up top here, you've been one of the young faces of York United. So I got to ask you, first of all, what's it been like for yourself to not just be a pro soccer player, but being able to play at home? And this is a thing where before the first year of the CanPL, so many guys in Canadian soccer never got a chance to play in a pro league at home if it wasn't MLS. They had to go to Europe. They had to go to elsewhere. What's it meant for yourself to be able to hone your craft as a pro soccer player while staying in Ontario at the pro level?
It's amazing. I think going overseas and going abroad has its benefits and challenges in terms of development, but I also think me having the opportunity to stay home and play here and be around my friends and family every day and have them, you know, cheering me on every home game, and you know, that's obviously something the club is known for, is that I have a lot of family that comes to every game, and to have their support every day is unbelievable. And I think it's awesome, and every pro soccer player should experience it and should want to experience it. And having the CPL makes that realistic now for players. So I think it's great.
No, of course, it really is great. And you know, you've been someone, you've had a second year of pro soccer in CanPL, and you're someone, you had a chance to also play, not just this year, but you also played last year. Of course, we all know that COVID has changed so much in just our lives, it's changed so much in sports. You had a chance to play last year in the Island Games. So, just what was it like playing in one city in PEI? What was it like playing in, not just, you know, having a full season there, but what was it like playing in other teams in one area? Because, you know, you might play a team, you might play Calgary, you might play in Edmonton, and you might see those guys later on after the game. So, what was it like for you playing for your team in York and being in one city with the entire league was there in PEI last year?
It was kind of weird at the same time. I'm playing in one city, there's no real home advantage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no real fans that are cheering on one team, or, you know, when you're taking a corner, they're yelling at you, things of that nature. And then, obviously, it's weird, you know, there might be something that goes on the field, and you have to go see the guy, 20 minutes later in the hotel? in the hotel. So, you know, the tensions, I think, were always high, and but the season was short last year. So it wasn't too bad, but definitely weird. Definitely a weird way to do a soccer season. So I'm glad that we had some sort of a normal season this year with half bubble, half regular season. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Of course, I know you play college soccer out in Cape Breton. So being someone who has some experience playing out in the Maritimes, was it easier for you to say you have experience in Maritimes playing college soccer out there?
Yeah, of course. You know, PEI and Cape Breton aren't that much different, both islands. So there were some times where I think we were in August and it was getting cold for some games at nighttime, and the guys, you know, were like commenting on temperature and weather stuff, and I was kind of just used to it because my previous year I was there from August until COVID hit in March, right? So I dealt with the cold winters, I dealt with the cold weather, I dealt with all that type of stuff. So it was easy to acclimate when we went over there. Maybe a little easier than other guys, but it was okay.
That's cool. That's cool. I know with York United, this is a team that made strides here in 2021. And one thing that I love the fact is that CanPL has had a mandate. You know, you want to make sure that the U21 guys are getting their minutes, the 1500 minutes, and you guys smash that immediately. Like, what has it been like for yourself to be a part of a team that has said, you know what, hey, we're going to make sure that our young players get to play and get the minutes? They really care about making sure that you and your other players who are 21 under get to contribute on this roster over the past year, Isaiah.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, but I also think this is what the league was made for, right? To give young Canadians an opportunity to play professional football at home and to give us a pathway that isn't MLS, that isn't abroad, where we're getting first team minutes, where we're playing regularly and really developing under guys like Jim Brennan, who have Paul Stoturi. These guys have had amazing careers, and the insight they can bring to the game every day at training was really good. And you know, to be able to showcase week in and week out what I'm learning, and to show that I'm improving every game and improving every day in training, it's amazing. And I'm grateful to play under a club that promotes it.
Of course, you mentioned right there Jim Brennan. I know he's not going to be your manager next year going into 2022, but he's someone who his name is a big name in Canadian soccer. He's done it all. He played over in Europe. He was an original TFC member. Like, what have you learned from him as someone who's been around Canadian soccer for a very long time? And I'm sure it gave you so much wealth to really learn upon as you played.
Yeah, there's so much. I've only ever played grassroots football, club football, and I went to college. And that's the closest thing I've ever done to being in a pro academy, in a pro environment before coming to York. And coming, I think the biggest thing that I took away from Jim was being a professional. Every day in training, there's no days off. He would say that all the time, there's no days off. And it's on and off the field, you know what I mean? It's in the locker room, it's before training, after training, before games, after games. And that was just something that was really instilled to me with my time under Jim.
That's amazing. I gotta ask you, you might be a little bit biased though, but was he the best dressed coach in CanPL? Because, yo, I would see some of Jim's suits. It's like, okay, Jim. I see him on the touchline. Like, yo, he had a great fashion sense.
I think I am a bit biased, but I do think the gaffer's outfits were top tier.
Oh, man, that is amazing. I know I mentioned, of course, so I know you played college soccer, and you came up through the grassroots level of Ontario. And what was it like seeing those levels increasing even more and getting even better? Because, you know, like right now, we talked about before how kids, when they were 12, 13, 14, 15, immediately they would go to the States, or they would go to South America, or they would go to Europe. But what was it like being someone who came through these levels, seeing them getting better and better, and seeing them getting recognition internationally now? Because I love the fact that you're seeing college soccer is getting better, League One getting better. Like, Canadian soccer at the amateur levels is going sky high right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's great to see Canadian football just take that step forward. I think the CPL was a league that needed to happen in this country, because now you have these guys that are 15, 16, younger and older, and they're going into League One, and that was just not, okay, I'm just in League One just to play a couple times and wait until I can go back to school, or wait until I do go to school in the States or whatever it is. It's, okay, every game, I could be recognized, and I could be given a trial. I could be given an opportunity to play professional soccer, right? So I think the league has now increased the quality of amateur sports, because now everybody's playing for a contract, and it's not just to play anymore. So I think it's amazing.
No, exactly. I know for yourself, when you made your debut in CanPL, like, when did it really hit you, Isaiah, that you were a professional footballer? Was it the first time you put your kit on? Was it the first time you stepped onto the pitch? Was it when you signed your first contract? When did that moment hit for you that you're going to play professional football?
For me, it was, I knew that I was a professional footballer stepping on the pitch and wearing the colors and the contract, but I think for me, it was the first home game I've ever played at York in front of a filled stadium, the most capacity we could have at the time. And I'm coming out and the music's on and the lights are on and we're playing against our rival sports and my family's in the stands and everybody's cheering and it's loud. And I'm standing there for the national anthem, and I'm really taking it in for the first time that I'm really a pro. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've really worked my way to accomplish my dreams of becoming a professional footballer. So I think that was it for me. Obviously, I felt it before, but that was like the surreal moment for me.
That is cool, and hey, man, hey, that me, yo, I'd be nervous as heck, but yo, yeah. For your age, man, the poise you're showing me right now, that's amazing, dude. You're mature beyond your years for a young footballer. I'm impressed, man. That's awesome, dude. I'm impressed, man. And I got to ask you now. Of course, this year you scored your first goal against FC Edmonton. And like when that ball crosses the line, like do you have in your mind a sense of a celebration? What's gonna happen? Like, I know players talk about, you know, oh, when I score, I'm gonna do this, that, the third. When you scored, you do everything about, you know, oh, it went in. Now I'm going to do this celebration or that. Like, what's going through your mind when you scored that first goal against the Eddies?
It was funny because I've kind of felt the goal coming. And at the time, me and Jim spoke. And, you know, the game before, I had a couple opportunities, a couple shots. And, you know, we spoke in training in the game before. And he was like, it's coming. Your first goal is coming. Keep working hard. It's going to come. And so I told my teammates, you know, when I score, I'm going to do the Neymar celebration, whatever. And at the moment it crossed the line and putting my team in the lead, it was pure excitement. I couldn't even think of a celebration. It was my body took control and my brain was blank. And it was an unreal feeling that I can't even describe.
That's amazing.
But I do talk about what I want to do if I score. Do I always do it? No. But I do talk about it with my teammates. Because everybody knows, I think in the league now knows, Chris Noel Ensah loves to celebrate, whether it's him scoring or assisting or just with his teammates. He loves to celebrate. So, you know, we talk about it quite a bit.
That's amazing. Hey, I believe you're going to score a lot more in this league, so you'll have a lot more chances to do a real celebration where your mind won't go blank. But hey, that's your first ever goal, the pro soccer player. I get it then, hey. I get that, you know, the excitement overtook you there. So, you know, that's understandable. That's understandable. So I got to ask you now, as someone who's played in Canfield, you've had 2 years now, what is your favorite away pitch to go at? Do you, like, you know, every player has their away pitch to go at, you know, it could be for whatever reason. They like the stadium, they like the opposing fan tension. Like, what's the stadium that you've been to? It's like, you know, wow, this is my favorite place to play away from York in Canfield.
There's some good stadiums in the league and some great fan bases, but for me, I want to say it has to be Halifax.
Ooh, okay.
The fans just show up every time, and they have thousands of fans every time, whether it's raining. Like that game that we tied 3-3, it was pouring rain for two hours, and not one fan left early, I don't think. And you know, other games, it's just loud, and their banter is good, and the field is good itself, so I think Halifax would have to be my favorite, but I also really enjoyed Calgary.
Nice!
Calgary was a good place, and so was Pacific. I like Pacific as well.
Pacific gets a lot of rave reviews. I want to go. I've not been to a game Pacific yet. I do want to go, but you mentioned Calgary. That is such an interesting stadium. I was there. I covered the first Tyler game against Forge. And it's weird because it was built for a horse show jumping. It wasn't really built for soccer originally. They built it for football. And the angle is like, it's so unique. I don't think any other pitch in Canada like it. So that's a really good answer as well.
That's true. Yeah. And I think what's unique about Calgary is the foot soldiers have like steel bleachers.
Yes.
That they stand on during the game that is right behind the net. So if you're goalie is at that net, so if you're defending that net, it's so loud on a corner or if they score and stuff. And I think it's, like, obviously I don't like being scored or something like that, but I thought it was neat as being a young footballer experiencing that for the first time.
That's amazing. Yeah, that must have been so cool to be around. That must have been so cool to be around. Of course, for York United as a team that took another step, as a team that improved this year. Like, what would it mean going to next year to see this team play for a championship and really challenge, come in and knock off the Giants like the Forge and Pacific, who were the top teams this past?
I think it'd be a huge step. I think last year we've been the youngest team in the league, and, you know, before the season starts, everybody's talking about will York be able to even compete, let alone, you know, make a playoff spot. Will we be able to even compete being at the bottom of the table? And, you know, we proved everyone wrong. And I think next year's going to be the same thing. I think instead of just competing for a playoff spot, we're now competing in the championship. I definitely think the group of guys we're bringing in and the group of guys we already have, as well with the new gaffer, I think we'll definitely be able to challenge those teams in the championship and not just the semifinals.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Of course, you know, one thing I liked about CanPL was that this is a league that has been very strong in terms of promoting diversity and backing black talent, be it black managers and black players. Look at Pa Mutaka, who's coach Pacific, a black gaffer, which is so rare to see in soccer North America. He's done so much for Pacific right now. And I sit here, you're a young black player. I've covered the league for 3 years as a black journalist. What's been to see this league say, you know, we're gonna support diversity and really mean it and talk about it?
Yeah, I think I really appreciate it, is to say the least. You know, being a young black man, obviously you'd be able to understand, you know, it's different. To have a league that truly supports it and supports me and has, and I know, you know, has the back of my other teammates, like such as Lowell, we're also young black men, and they support all of us across and genuinely mean it. It's good. It's a good feeling, and it feels good to have, you know, a league support you like that.
No, of course. I really could not agree more. And, you know, at York, you know, I see guys in New York, and from the games I've seen, you guys in New York, there's a very tight bond. Like, who are the guys in that dressing room on New York where, you know, before a game, you know, win, lose, or draw, they make sure that room is loose. Who are the guys in that room that make sure you guys are laughing, enjoying football every day?
There's so many, I think. I think that was a big thing that our team had last year was chemistry. We all genuinely enjoyed being around each other. We all genuinely liked each other. And so we had that trust in the change room, and it made it easier to trust one another on the field. And like one another on the field, they want to do stuff for the guy beside you, right? If he makes a mistake, you know, I trust that I like him enough and to go help him do his job instead of just doing my job, right? So I think there were so many. I think a big one for us last year, though, would have been Jordan Wilson. I think he was a huge guy for our locker room, who brought everybody together, who made sure we were all on the same page, and really, you know, he joked around and laughed when the time was to joke around and laugh, and when it was time to be serious and focus on football and focus on other things, he also did that as well. So I think Jordan Wilson would be that guy for me, yes, last year.
That's amazing. I like that. So I got to ask you a real important question now, Isaiah. How many guys on the team are Team Messi, and who's Team Ronaldo? I know you're a Messi guy, and so am I. So I gotta ask you, who in that room is divided between Messi and Ronaldo?
it's funny you say that. I think this argument has come up very heavily once a week, maybe. But it's very split. I'm Team Messi every day, all day. I said Team Messi, but Roger Thompson, for example, is big Cristiano Ronaldo. Jordan Faria, big Cristiano Ronaldo. And then, you know, there's a lot of guys that just say, oh, why don't we just enjoy both type thing, you know? Why are we comparing? But there's been some heated debates about who's better. But for me, since I've been young, and until I get old, it will always be.
But once Messi had that
73
goal years, like, that's it right there. That's my guy. 73 goals is ridiculous.
I'm saying like 91 goals in a calendar year in all competitions.
Like,
it's insane. He's not even a goal scorer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ronaldo's supposed to be the big time goal scorer, but will never touch that record that Messi has. So for me, undisputed best footballer ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are some records in sports that people say are unbreakable. You're right, though, at the end. Over 90 goals they count in a year, no one's touching that. No one is doing that ever again. It's not happening.
Exactly. It will not happen again, and doesn't matter who you are, that is an unheard of stat.
Yeah, like, that to me easily is the top 5 unbreakable sports records of all time. Like, I don't see how anybody's going to ever have a 100-goal year. I don't see how it's ever going to happen again. So, I got to ask you, Isaiah, you know, I mentioned the Messi, I mentioned the Ronaldo debate. Now, almost every footballer I know is a big FIFA guy. So I got to ask you, is there ever any heavy FIFA battles among you guys? Is that a thing where, you know, maybe you guys got some downtime? Are those battles just ridiculous, or is it a little bit more toned down when it comes to playing FIFA in that
room? There's some guys that get very into it. I want to say Max is one. Roger again is one. Aja, Lowell. In the bubble, there was some money games.
Oh, wow.
There's some cheating competitions, a little bit of yelling, but, those are the guys that are big into the FIFA.
Oh, man, that is amazing. That is funny. That is, I love that, because it was funny, because in the bubble, like, for the most part, fans and media, we didn't really get the chance to hear about these stories for the most part. It was pretty locked down, so to hear that, I love that. That's amazing, because it was pretty tight in terms of what got out of the bubble of PEI. So I appreciate that insight, Isaiah. That's amazing. That is amazing. So why don't I ask? I'll let you go on this. I'll let you go on this, Isaiah. In terms of, I mentioned they've all different CanPL markets and CanPL cities. Is one place in the league you would love to see the league expand to next? But what ask a player? Where would you want to see CanPL expand to next from a player's point of view in this country? Do you think?
For me, the next place that needs to come in is, or should come in, just because of all the talent they produce and stuff, is Montreal.
I like that.
But I think Montreal has a, you know, just having a lot of players from Montreal on my team, and talking to them about the youth setup in Montreal, like not like academy wise, like in terms of like from like the team and stuff like that. I think they do a very good job of promoting youth development over there, and I think it'd be cool to have a team in Montreal.
I like that one. Yeah, it is overdue to get a team in Montreal, or even in Quebec in general. That's a big soccer hotbed. Yeah. I love that. I like that answer. That's a great call with Montreal. And Isaiah, I got to thank you for doing the podcast, man. It's been a blast. Good luck to you next year. I'm definitely going to come to some games next year, so I'm definitely going to see you next season, man. Definitely, man.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Yeah.